Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Let us pray. May the words of our mouths
and the meditations of all our hearts
be acceptable in your sight,
O Lord, our strength
and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome back, Emily. It's really nice to have you here.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm so thrilled to be here. I wouldn't miss this for the world. And, feels good to be back up here. Things are basically how I left them last year, although attendance is higher.
And I think even higher than last week. So I got to give the people what they want. Thanks so much for being here. The truth is, I really look forward to this each year.
Oh, I do too, Stephen. And this is our eighth year doing our joint Christmas sermon, and it has been quite a Christmas tradition.
Absolutely. Plus, it really helps me get in the spirit, which, if I'm honest, I could use a little help with this year.
You're not feeling it?
No, don't get me wrong. I know that it's Christmas time, and I've been listening to the carols and planning for Christmas Eve and even buying my Christmas gifts.
Ooh, let's talk about those gifts.
Don't worry, honey, I got you a gift.
A gift? Singular?
You'll be fine. Okay. My point is, this year it just seems a little harder to get into the Christmas spirit, you know, with everything going on.
Yeah, I know, but Stephen, Brittany's free. We've talked about this. She's free.
You can
let not your heart be troubled. I'm just kidding. Look, we are still in the midst of a global pandemic. Of course, you're having a hard time getting in the Christmas spirit. In some ways, all of us may be. Think of everything we've had to face in the last couple of years, from the isolation to the fear to the whiplash of thinking and praying that we are at the end, only to be faced with a new variant. It's like we're all stuck on this huge yo-yo.
Yo-yo? I could get out my yo-yo.
Oh, no, Stephen, we talked about this. You are a grown adult.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is that maybe, honey, you need to go a little bit easier on yourself. Or maybe we all need to go a little easier on ourselves and extend ourselves a little grace. In other words, maybe this year, it's okay to not feel like we normally feel. After all, it's not a normal time.
I guess just last year, everything was so different. I really wanted this year to feel like it used to.
I know. I did too. You did too. But it's not like it was before, Stephen. 800,000 people across the country, some from our congregation, from our families, and a million more around the globe are no longer with us due to COVID. We have all lost someone or something, and things have changed. Even here, I mean, look around. We're all in masks, and I see some cute Christmas masks back there. But let's face it, this is not business as usual, and we can't pretend that it is.
So I should just resign myself to feeling off this Christmas, or more off than normal?
I'm just saying that it's okay to feel the way you feel, and it's okay for all of us to feel the way we feel. There's no roadmap on how to get through this. Although, if there were, I'm guessing that it would start with us just being honest about how we're feeling.
Being honest about how we're feeling. Okay, well then, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm not sure that pasta sat well with me last night.
Oh, great. We are just in for a treat this morning. I think you know what I mean.
I do.
But the good news is that Christmas comes whether we feel it or not. The whole point is that light that shines in the darkness that no darkness can overwhelm. The entrance of Emmanuel, God with us, into the world to remind us, to remind all of us, that we are not alone. Which means that even in this strange moment, in this very strange year, we can still embrace the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy that this season promises. It just might take a little bit more work than before.
Look who's the preacher now. The Padawan has become the Jedi Master.
What?
It's a Star Wars reference.
Oh, Steven, you are a grown man.
The point is, I'm in. I'm in to embrace the promise of this season, even if it's going to be a little different. I'm willing to do the hard work of hope, peace, love, and joy. I just don't quite know where to start.
Okay, that's fair, but how about by recognizing that we are not the first to struggle? I mean, look at the story for today.
You mean when Mary visits Elizabeth?
Yes.
Em, we've been doing this for 8 years. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of new ground to cover on this. Most of us basically know the story, don't we? Mary receives the good news from Gabriel that she was pregnant, and then she goes to her relative Elizabeth, who was also pregnant and whose baby leapt in her womb when Mary entered.
Leapt for joy.
Right, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt when Mary entered.
No, Stephen, it leapt for joy.
Okay, it leapt for joy, but what's the difference?
Well, think about the story from Elizabeth's perspective. We jump in at this moment when Mary arrives, but we forget Elizabeth's story, Elizabeth's journey up to this point. In 8 years of doing this, I don't think we've ever unpacked that.
Huh. Well, I know it says that she was a woman who was getting on in years.
Okay, not my favorite part of the gospel.
Agreed, and actually most of the story to that point is really about her husband, Zechariah.
Again, not my favorite part of the gospel.
But we're told that he's this well-respected priest to whom Gabriel appears and says, you're going to have this baby despite the fact that your wife is getting on in years.
Yeah, not my
noted. That despite the fact that they were older than usual, they were going to have a child and name him John.
The Baptist.
I like to think he would be a Methodist if he was around today, but yes, they would eventually give birth to John the Baptist. Only Zechariah didn't believe Gabriel, and so was forced to remain completely silent, mute, for the entire 9 months of their pregnancy. I know, not your favorite part of the gospel.
Oh, no, surprisingly, I am okay with that part.
So, with her silent husband, she becomes pregnant, and Mary comes to visit her for 3 months.
Yeah, that's a long time to have an unexpected relative stay with you at your home. No offense, Mom and Dad.
No offense, Bob and Jan.
But, Stephen, you're still missing a very important part.
Well, okay, sure. Gabriel appears to Mary, and then Mary goes to visit Elizabeth.
No, before that.
You mean, like, the conception part? I'm not sure we want to get into that here.
No, I think we've all got that. The story says that after Elizabeth conceived, she remained in seclusion for 5 months. 6 months by the time that Mary encounters her in the passage today. So just to recap, Elizabeth spends 6 months in seclusion.
Huh. I guess I'd never really paid attention to that part.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I had either, but it sort of stands out now, doesn't it? After all, we know something about what it's like to find ourselves in long periods of seclusion, in isolation, removed from the community that we love.
Some of us have experienced that more than we ever wanted to in the last couple of years.
And we know that it takes its toll, doesn't it? When we're isolated, removed from people who are normally there to help keep us honest, to calm us down when we get upset about little things, to help put things in perspective, we can start to see the world in a distorted way. And that space between me and you starts to widen. But look at the way that Elizabeth reacts to Mary's arrival. I mean, Elizabeth has struggled to become pregnant her whole adult life. And then, when she finally does become pregnant, she spends 6 months in isolation on her own without even her husband to talk to.
I knew you'd miss me.
And when Mary shows up unannounced, having become pregnant without any seeming challenge at all, instead of bitterness or jealousy or anger, Elizabeth gives thanks to God, and she feels the baby in her womb leap for joy, and she joins in. I mean, that just seems rare these days.
You know, it's funny, we often think about her baby, that man who grows up to be John the Baptist, or Methodist, but John the Baptist growing up and preparing the way of the Lord, preparing the way for Jesus. But maybe it starts with Elizabeth. Maybe she's the first one to prepare the way by seeing joy and being willing to embrace it even when it comes through another person.
It's like Maggie Smith writes in her book, Keep Moving, do not turn joy away. Even if it arrives at an inconvenient time, even if you think you should be grieving, even if you think it's too soon, joy is always on time.
Joy is always on time. Only when we feel isolated, removed from one another, it can feel like that joy is too far out of reach.
Maybe then it takes a leap.
A leap?
Yeah, a leap of faith, a leap for joy, for hope, for peace, for love. Maybe when we find ourselves standing at the edge of that chasm between us and the joy of life, the only way to overcome it is to take a leap of faith and trust that when we leap, we're going to land on the other side.
Which means making sure that we're facing in the right direction. I mean, that's the thing. There are so many things out there that are promising that if we just leap towards them, they're going to give us joy or fulfillment or life. But as we know, not all of those actually have joy or life or fulfillment to offer.
Well, that's where we come in.
I'm not sure we could handle that for everyone, Em. We're just two people.
No, not us, but us. Us. That's why we're in the church. That's why this community matters. Because as imperfect as we are people that despite the pain and the angst and the frustration and the fear of the world, despite coming from different backgrounds and having different stories, despite never knowing what a day is going to bring, we're willing to leap together, making sure that we're all facing in the right direction.
And that no one gets left behind.
So in that sense, maybe this is kind of a leap year, Stephen.
That's not actually until 2024, Em.
Well, this is a year when we are all being asked to take a leap of faith. And after a couple of years of seclusion, and isolation, having been separated from one another, without those people to give us perspective, to nudge us on the path of having our sense of reality distorted, maybe Maybe we are all being asked to take a leap toward joy, toward hope, toward peace, toward love. We're leaping. Elizabeth did it. I wonder if we can too.
Well, in a way, Mary did it as well.
You mean by saying yes to bringing Jesus into the world?
Sure, yeah. But also, look at the way the story is told. She hears Gabriel tell her that she's pregnant and that her relative Elizabeth was also pregnant despite being getting on in years.
Okay, why do they have to include that?
I don't know, but, and the first thing she does is run to Elizabeth. Doesn't say she tells Joseph. It just says she goes to the Judean countryside for 3 months to her relative. She takes a leap, trusting that Elizabeth will be there to embrace her.
Well, that's the leap we sometimes have to take, don't we? To reach out when we need a little help.
For some of us, it's a bigger leap than for others, because it forces us to admit that we can't do it alone.
But we can't. We need each other. And if we've learned anything from the last couple of years, it's that we're connected to everyone else in this world, whether we like it or not.
As Howard Thurman says, when we go deep enough inside ourselves, we come up inside all other people, which means that my hope is your hope. My joy is your joy.
Your love is my love.
And my love is your love.
It would take an eternity to break us.
Leaping.
Leaping. Oh, in other words, Elizabeth needed people. Mary needed people. Even Jesus needed people. So what makes us think that we can do this alone?
I know I can't.
I know you can't. But I can't either. None of us can. So maybe this Christmas season, when things feel off, when it's just hard to get into the spirit, when that loneliness or uncertainty or fear seems to creep in, maybe we can courageously choose to make a leap toward joy.
Rather than jumping to conclusions, maybe we can leap toward love, or hope, or peace. Maybe this Christmas, it's time to take a leap of faith.
So, let's make this a leap year.
I'm ready if you are.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.